If today's episode of The Wiggle Room isn't enough for you, there's over 300 hours of Josh Wiggler and I talking about the first 30 seasons of Survivor waiting for you at evolutionofstrategy.com. Get the first chapter all about Survivor Borneo for free at evolutionstrategy.com or by clicking on the sidebar of robiswebsite.com. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino back here with the week three edition of the show where we take a look at the characters and the story of Survivor Millennials versus Gen X. It's the Wiggle Room with Josh Wiggler.
Check it out.
Josh.
Josh.
Lur. 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 Lur.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just did the Josh. That's all I did. I didn't do any of the wiggles or the lures. I had never done just the Josh call out, so I wanted to see what that was like, and then there were no other Joshes. It was just the one.
That's it. How you doing, buddy?
That's it. It's the one Josh. I'm doing well. How are you, Robert?
Very good. How are you celebrating Antonio Mazzaro's birthday?
That's a great question. Happy birthday, Antonio Mazzaro, as of this recording. As you are listening to this, it's a belated happy birthday. I celebrated Antonio Mazzaro's birthday this year, much like I celebrated it last year. Last year, during some podcast we had, it was decided that I would send him a picture of health on his birthday. So I put it in my calendar. I put a picture of health on Antonio's birthday in my calendar. It was just like I Googled health and like one of the first things that came up. It was like a health chart.
Survivor doctor, Dr. Rupert, Dr. Joe.
Dr. Joe. So I sent him a picture of Dr. Joe on his birthday last year. And then a few weeks ago, I asked him, oh, well, your birthday's coming up again soon. What do you want for your birthday this year? And he said, I don't know, a picture of pizza. So I sent him a picture of pizza in text form at midnight last night because Antonio's my boy and I want to be the first person to wish him a happy birthday.
Yeah. All right,
my boy, much like Ken. I was in on Ken before anyone else was in on Ken.
You were?
Or should I say Kent? Should I say Kent? Last week, you were challenging me on Ken being my boy and now he's like the most popular guy in school.
Yeah.
So
you
I just want to make it clear that at least I liked Ken before you liked Ken, Rob.
That's fine. It's fine. I can't stake claim to being the biggest Ken fan. I'll let other people have that one. I have no animosity or ill will towards Ken. I just
you weren't
been.
An action figure guy growing up. Like you were not a Ken doll.
No,
guy.
Well,
you
not were, a Ken doll. Like a, I had no, lots of yeah. like He-Man dolls and stuff.
Were
like
you
that.
Were you a He-Man guy? And I've never really talked shop in terms of like what your childhood playthings were. What did you have? What was your arsenal? Were you a He-Man guy? Did you do Transformers? What did you do?
No, I didn't really get into the Transformers. Lots of He-Man and some Star Wars stuff, but mostly I think that probably He-Man was probably the thing that I collected the most.
Wow. So like you actually, like, could you do a deep dive He-Man podcast if you really needed to? Do you know the lore? Do you remember anything of it?
I mean, from what I recall, I believe so. Yeah, I think I could get it.
You know, we were talking a few weeks ago about what to name your room. You should just call it Grayskull, right? Like that would be...
Yeah,
that would be good, and that would really be a throwback to your youth.
Yeah, I think so. Castle Grayskull, why not?
Doesn't Paul Walker kind of look like He-Man?
I did not get that.
Or maybe like He-Man's dad?
He-Man's dad?
He-Man's uncle?
He-Man's uncle? I don't know. We're way off track. He's got
the body of a He-Man action figure, I feel
for
like.
For sure. All right. Well, Josh, that I want to get into all the Survivor stuff, but you had a really interesting weekend. I know you've been at the New York Comic Con this weekend. Can you talk a little bit about what you've been up to? Because I've been following your exploits on Twitter. It looks like some interesting stuff.
Yeah, I was at New York Comic Con this weekend. I was covering it for my day job, the THR, the Hollywood Reporter. It was fun. It was really cool. Got to see some old friends. I used to work in comic book journalism. That's been a few years. So I got to see some buddies I haven't seen in a while. I got to moderate a panel. That was pretty cool. I got to moderate the Mr. Robot panel on Friday with Sam Esmail, the creator of the show. That was really neat. I think that's my most liked Instagram post, and I look terrible in it. Oh, God.
I'm
all neared and gut. It's really bad. It's a bad angle. Terrible angle. But it's also the truth. It's honest. It's honest. It's an honest picture.
No filter? You know?
No filter, and it's not like the top-down angle. Yeah. This is what he really looks like. You know, as Tony would say, this is what he looks like. This is what he looks like.
I thought you were going to be moderating a panel at the Rodney Bowl this weekend.
No. Oh, I was so sad to have missed the Rodney Bowl and to have had to go to the New York Comic Cons instead.
With Mr. Rodbot.
I wonder who Rodney's Mr. Robot is. Like, who is it that, who does Rodney see?
I think it's Dan Foley.
with Christian Slater as Dan Foley.
You better relax, bro.
You better relax, Mr. Robot. Yeah, no, it was fun. It was really good. It's been a while since I've moderated something like that. So really, really fun. Really good turnout. It was a great show. And then the next night I had, I was at the Walking Dead panel. Dalton Ross was there. Did not see Dalton Ross, but I could tell by his tweets that he was in the same building. The Walking Dead panel was off to a late start, Rob. Much like how the Wiggle Room was really late last week, this Walking Dead panel took like a half hour to start. And there was just this dude in like this white money suit dancing around on stage to techno, really trying to rile up the crowd. And like 10 minutes into it, and he still had 20 minutes to go, like the room had really grossly turned on him. It was the theater at Madison Square Garden. The whole place was very upset with this guy.
Maybe that's what we should do when Survivor Know-It-All starts late, is that we should get a techno dancing guy.
Who is the first person you would tap on your roster to be like your techno dancing pump up man? Like, who would be the person that you would call, like, to bring out, like, if for some reason at the Gotham Comedy Club, is that where you're doing this year? Where's this going to be?
We'll be at Caroline's on the 26th for the live Know-It-Alls.
I said Carolina's. I guess I have token chains on the mind through Steven. But yeah, who would that be? Who would be dancing in front of everyone? Who would be in the front of the room?
Well, I think my pick would be Pauly Calafiore, but I don't think you know who that is. So
that's a big brother, right? That's a big brother. Yeah, that's a big brother. Well, we should talk about the other
Paul. And not the other big brother Paul, but not your boy Paul.
We can talk about Survivor Paul.
Yeah, people, we're getting angry comments by the second, Josh. So let's get into talking about Paul Wachter. And of course, I know you spoke with him in your exit interview for Parade.com. How was your conversation with Paul?
It was great. It was fun. I asked him if it was true that he had never received milk from a drone, just as kind of like an icebreaker. He laughed a lot. I thought it was a good joke. I didn't think it was a great joke, but he really liked it. And then we talked about his experience. He seemed, a lot of the time in these exit interviews, right, you get the perspective of what you didn't see on TV. What was the real reason this person got voted out that we never saw? And real in air quotes, obviously, because exit interviews are not necessarily canon. But Paul really was just like, yeah, I guess that's what happened. You know, I was kind of confused. It didn't really make any sense to me. I buy the rotten fishy of it all. I don't understand. Like, I guess I said a thing and it didn't, I don't remember it the way that it came out on TV, but that must have been it. So he didn't really have any sort of alternate universe explanation for his demise. I guess it was just as presented on television, according to him.
Yeah.
Pleasant conversation. How was yours?
Yeah, it was fine. I actually anticipated that he was going to be pretty annoyed with his group. And no, that
you thought he was going to bring the salt, you said on the Know-It-All.
Yeah, I thought so. I thought it was going to be one of these cases like, do you believe these idiots and what they did? And I would have won. And if they wouldn't have gotten rid of me. But yeah, he was very much, que sera, sera.
Que sera, sera. Yeah. 80 ways of being disappointed with his experience. No, he seemed fine. He seemed, I actually appreciated that he was talking about how it was a humbling experience. It's an experience he really greatly enjoyed. The thing that he told me, did he tell you this? I haven't gotten a chance to listen to your exit interview yet, but he talked about how, unlike how it was presented on television, that Taylor and Figgy did a really great job of keeping that info of their showman's on lock and key during the summit. Apparently, it was like the first thing that they said when they got out there. I thought that was funny. I thought that was a fun little tidbit that everyone in the summit knew instantly that Taylor and Figgy were a thing.
Yeah, they sussed that out pretty quickly.
Pretty fast. got that pretty quick.
Figgy and Taylor have no chill, Josh.
No chill. Maybe Netflix and chill, but no chill out there on the island.
That's right. All right. Yeah. So, Josh, you mentioned the Survivor Summit. And of course, back in the Evolution of Strategy, we've talked about so many different things. And this is, I guess, a new thing, technically. Would you consider Survivor Summit a new thing? Or is it basically something that we've seen before? Because it's not like setting up a merge where we've seen things like this before. It didn't set up a tribe swap. It was just sort of like a mixer.
It was just kind of a mixer. I liked the summit. I liked the summit. I'm not mad at the summit. I think that the summit was good. And I think that there are times in Survivor history where we as an audience could have benefited from a summit. I'm looking at heroes and villains, especially. You know, we talked about that a lot on the Evolution of Strategy. Well, here's the thing. We talked about this a lot on the Evolution of Strategy during that chapter where it's like, okay, so you're keeping these guys really, really separate. Don't you want to see Coach and Rupert hanging out? Don't you want to see what that looks like? Don't you want to see some mingling. So I think that it's fun. I think it's fun when you're mixing the tribes up and you get to, and it's kind of low stakes and you get to see what it looks like when Paul is hanging out with Taylor or when David is hanging out with Taylor and automatically betraying his tribe in a purely hypothetical situation. I think it's fun. I think, you know, it's not something that's done very often. I think I'm scratching my head thinking about, like you said, like, is there a time where it was done where there wasn't a twist connected to it? And I can't think of anything immediately off the top of my head other than like Danny and her tribe going over and celebrating her birthday in Guatemala. But that's like a self-imposed summit. Like that's your own summit. It's your birthday summit. I don't think that, you know, it's really something that happens a lot, but I thought it was neat. I thought it was cool. It was a fun little scene.
Awesome.
I'm not mad about the peanut butter and jelly time. So no problems with the summit on my end. And I like that we were all wrong. Everyone was expecting some sort of tribal dissolution or swap or whatever, myself included, you know, really think that Survivor is going to really want to do the 2-3 move here at 18. I'm glad that Millennials versus Gen X is still in effect and that we were wrong.
That's the only thing I would say I like about this is that it really does keep us on our toes, because it was like a foregone conclusion, I felt like, during the week, that it was like, okay, well, they're going to switch up the tribes and that's probably what they're going to do. And a lot of people just were running with that same theory of how they were going to change the tribes up to one tribe of Millennials, one tribe of Gen Xers, and one tribe that was 50-50. No, maybe we'll save that for another point down the road, but that's not what they do. The other thing that I do like about that is in terms of keeping the survivors on their toes, where we're able to predict what's going to end up happening. I like that the survivors, if you go into another season, if you go into Survivor 34, 35, and obviously, well, let's just say it's 35, then if you're going to be a person that's going to be on Survivor 35, then you were going into it and it's like 20 people, you get down to 18, you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what they're going to do. And they may not have a swap this season.
Who knows? Hunapu. I think that that's right. I think that the fact that this is Generation X versus Millennials or vice versa, that's the theme of the season. I think conventional wisdom with Survivor right now is that they're going to shake things up as much as they can. And here we are at 18 and we're committing to the theme, at least right now. And that does, you know, change some thinking. I would think, like, if I were out there, if I was on the Millennials tribe, my mind would be going, okay, I cannot just automatically bank on some sort of swap. They might really want to ride this theme straight down to the line. So that messes with me. You know, that would really screw with me as a player. So I like it in terms of the game. What I would say is, like, did a lot happen during this particular summit? Maybe not. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe not. Maybe it was fairly uneventful, but you can't control that. I think you can only control the concept of introducing a summit here. I think one of the things, and you've talked about this on the podcasts this week, is I do think that you could have maybe the selection process of who gets to go. Maybe that could be different. You know, maybe it's not just a random draw. Maybe there's this thing where, like, you know, it's a great moment in Marquesas when Boston Rob's like, I'll go. And everyone else should be like, no, you can't go because you're the wild card and you're the one who's going to volunteer to go, but he still gets to go. I think that some sort of, you know, letting the onus be on the players to dictate who gets to go on this journey, maybe that's the move. But in terms of, like, there being like, was it super, super exciting? You can't really predict that. All you can do is give the opportunity. And I think that it has some benefit. I think it surprised us. I'm sure it surprised them. I'm sure that they were thinking, oh God, they're going to come back and tribes are going to be swapped and we're going to be totally different. So they're scrambling. So I think in terms of gameplay, I think it's a good move to introduce. What was the thing that you really disliked about it? Was it just that it was kind of boring?
Well, I didn't feel like that there were any stakes in it other than, oh, okay, they got to meet each other and there
was peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah, very little that in terms of the game that really came of it other than David saying, like, hey, just so you guys know, I'm going to jump ship. I'll work with you guys if you have to. So I didn't really like that. And again, just going back to when you said that, oh, in Heroes versus Villains, imagine if you would have had the tribes meeting. Well, I think one of the great things in Heroes versus Villains is that the tribes didn't have a chance to communicate and you have the heroes looking over and saying, like, oh, they voted off another guy, must be a women's alliance, so now we need to go out and make a move. And if they have a summit, I don't think that JT is writing a letter and giving Russell Hance an idol, which is one of the great moments in that season. So I do think that the lack of communication between the tribes sometimes allows the mind and the imagination to run wild, and then you get some fun stuff out of that.
Sure, But I think the other thing is that this is so early. You know, two votes. We're two votes deep into this thing. Three votes now, but two votes by the time that we're at the summit. And that's really, really early. So that's a time where you can be a little bit playful and you can play with people's expectations a little bit. And you can have a little bit of a mixer here, of a generational mixer here. You can have people show up and there's information that can be traded, but the stakes aren't super high yet. If heroes and villains, if there's a mixer after the first two votes, what? Like, everyone knows that James is acting like a jerk. He's acting like a jerk in challenges, so it's pretty public. But really, just like Sugar and Stephanie are gone. So if you're doing that like fairly early, I feel like it's no harm, no foul. Damn, I think that, you know, it's really just an early opportunity to have some characters mixing it up. Whereas if it were later, I mean, if it's really close to the merge, then maybe we're talking about something where I wouldn't be super pumped about that, because then you're losing something like a J-team moment where you're feeling the pressure of the tribes merging. It's also pretty late in that season, so that's a unique example. But I think that's an ingredient here that makes this work for me, is that it's really, really early in the season where, you know, pre-merges are not guaranteed to be super dynamic. We've been really lucky with a few great pre-merges. Certainly Korong's pre-merge, the one we were just off of, was really kind of epic and one of the better ones, I think. But sometimes they can be fairly boring. They can be fairly run-of-the-mill. So why not introduce something that's just a little bit fun, a little bit different, get these two tribes talking. And if the big theme of the season is pitting these two generations against each other, why not put them in a situation where it's fairly low stakes, no harm, no foul. Let's see what they do when they meet. Let's see if something comes out of it. And if nothing comes out of it, then it's just, you know, an interesting or maybe quasi-interesting 5 minutes of an episode.
And again, the thing that I do like potentially down the road is that where you might have these two tribes that really feeling like, okay, well, I'm only going to work with the Gen Xers, I'm only going to vote with the Millennials, then you may have more sort of intermingling, especially if there's not a swap in a season. We've seen seasons where, you know, whether it's South Pacific or Redemption Island, you have a group where they've been together for so long, they don't want to switch things up. Maybe getting to know each other is going to maybe breed a little bit more of excitement and intermingling between the tribes if there is not a tribe swap.
That's right. Yeah. So I don't know. I'm more in on it than I am out on it.
I'm not like throwing things around my office because of it, but it's not my favorite thing.
How often does that happen? Like when you're angry, is that really like, well, you're just like messing the place up?
I mean, it's not usually about Survivor. It usually has to do with watching one of my sports teams, Josh.
I got it. So that's when you're really spilling the rice and beans.
Right. When I'm rage watching sports.
How are you feeling with that, by the way?
Terrible. Okay? Terrible.
You're all right?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry.
Don't get me started. And more about the Jets and the Mets. The Mets, at least, like, had a nice run. The Jets is
sure.
The Jets season is, you know, it's Antonio Mazzaro's birthday and the season is over. That, you know, that's a
okay.
It's never a good
thing. It's early. Got it. Okay. I got it. I understand what that means.
Okay. But one of the other breakout characters this week, and you know, maybe you could say that this has been building over the first 3 weeks, is the aforementioned Kendall and your boy.
We shouldn't say it. We shouldn't call him Kendall. He doesn't want to be called Kendall. I don't feel comfortable. Like, if he has spoken it out loud, if he has said, "Don't call me Kendall," I don't feel comfortable calling him Kendall.
Kendall Jenner?
Yes. That's good. That's great. Kendall Jenner is the hashtag. There's no other option. I'm more comfortable with Aris's Kent. I like that. I thought that was good. That was cracking me up.
Yeah.
That was great.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about the emergence of Ken and his popularity, Josh. So what is it about Ken for you and this character that makes him a unique Survivor figure? And not,
well, I mean,
and not an action figure.
Not just a hot bod, not just like objectifying the figure. Well, I think that was probably a lot of it to begin with. I think, you know, Ken is he's an attractive man. He's a very good looking gentleman. But I think one of the things that has started to materialize about Ken that I think people are really responding to is that he's a sensitive soul, though he seems thick-skinned. I think that Ken, you know, Ken being kind of like this like closet nerd who is, you know, bullied in school and like is socially awkward, when he has this, you know, the appearance of somebody who would be super, super popular, I think that's fun. I think that's an interesting dynamic. I think that's something that's a little bit different for this character type, to kind of have the quiet, reserved heartthrob. I don't think that that's something that you see a ton of on Survivor. I mean, like, LJ was kind of a quiet dude, but he didn't seem very insecure about anything. I think that Ken being a guy who relates more to David than he relates to a Chris or a Brett, and it's hard for him to access that group of people.
Interesting.
I think that's something. I think that also we've talked about this a bunch. Is like, are you rooting for the jocks or are you rooting for the nerds as you're watching the season? Your mileage may vary, but you and I are probably more inclined to root for people that are more like us, which is probably the nerdier types. And Ken being on that side puts him on the side of the good guys right now. He's on the side of the angels, as far as I'm concerned. And as far as I'm concerned, Ken himself is an angel.
Good. I want to talk this through because I'm glad you brought this up. So usually on Survivor, most of our hot guys, and I don't want to paint with too broad of a brush, but I guess
paint
I will,
away.
Are more of a bro-y type hot guy. Yes. Is that fair to say? Our young hot guys are usually bros?
I mean, it depends. It depends on who you're looking at. But, again, too broad of a brush. I think that is probably a broad buff. I think that is more often the case than not, if you were just like to think about it very generally.
And again, and Ken, he is a member of the Gen X tribe, but I believe he is the youngest member of the Gen X tribe. Is he what?
He is.
33?
33, yeah.
Yeah, so I guess to put it another way, is he sort of a different type, more of like the brooding? Would you say is he brooding?
He's a brooder.
A little bit of a brooder.
I think that guy broods. Brood bod.
To put it in Gen X terms, is he the Dylan McKay, or in millennial terms, the Edward Cullen?
Oh my God, no, I prefer the Dylan McKay. I love that you busted that out. Oh my God, I hope, I don't know, I was just, a bunch of 90210 spoilers just popped up into my head, but I don't want to ruin it for anyone who hasn't. Any millennials who haven't really gone down that rabbit hole that they really ought to. Is he the Dylan McKay? Well, that means he's a good friend. That he is a badass, but he's got some trouble. He's got some demons in his past. He might go away for a little while, but he'll come back. He'll come back and he'll get Kelly in the end. Okay, there we go. I spoiled it.
Yeah. And his dad's MacGyver.
His dad's MacGyver. Yeah, you'll think that his dad blew up for a little while, but surprise, he's still around.
And MacGyver's back on CBS too.
And so that all, it's all connecting. It's all connected, like the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Yeah, I think that's part of it. I think that he's like, he's not quite the reformed bad boy, but like he's like the.
I think he is the reformed bad boy. Remember his bio? He's talking about how he was a heathen and then he gave up that lifestyle.
Yeah. So he's like an authentic Vetus. Like he's like Vetus who doesn't come off like this snaky guy. Like there's nothing snake-like about Ken. He's very earnest. That's a word that Probst used to describe Ken in the preseason. I think that's a really good word for Ken, is I think that there's not a lot of BS around this guy. I think that he comes across as very authentically himself. And I don't think that people are really threatened by that. I don't think that's not the read that I'm getting. Like, I think that it makes him a little bit inaccessible to people, but I don't feel like people are thinking like, oh God, he's so earnest. He must be scheming. He must be thinking something up. But I also don't know that I have the sense that, taking Vetus as an example again, it doesn't strike me that Ken has like the radar of a Vetus. So, but I do think that there's something to the reformed bad boy aspect of Ken that's appealing.
So in terms of where he sits with this group, do you like him to become the new leader of the Gen X group?
No, I don't. I don't think, dethroning Paul is really going to change anything dramatically. I don't know. I think that I'm not expecting that there's now some sort of huge power shift where like Chris and Brett are really, really screwed over. I think my read on how that vote played out is it's more like Jessica and who was it? Is Lucy? Lucy's on this season, and Sunday. It strikes me more that like they were sick of Paul. They wanted to get rid of Paul. They had an opportunity to get rid of Paul. They got rid of Paul. I don't think that it's anything personal against Chris or Brett. So I don't know how much this raises the stock for the Ken and David and Cece contingent so much as it buys them another 3 days. So I don't really see Ken stepping out as being a leader of the tribe. Although, I mean, he has been questioning openly, at least to some of these people, about Paul's leadership style. So maybe now that Paul is out of the picture, maybe he'll get a chance to be the silent leader of this tribe. Who knows? Hopefully he's bringing in some tuna.
Now, Ken was the person who really stood up for, like, hey, Jeff, the English language is beautiful. Josh, as a writer, did that particularly speak to you, and that is why you are swooning even more for Ken?
No, but it was definitely bonus points. It was a cherry on top of the Sunday burp.
Bonus points, you said?
Yes, okay. Yes, that is what I said. What did you think I said?
Let's keep moving.
Okay. Okay. Oh my gosh. NSF dubs. I loved that. I was very happy to hear him say that. I was not loving this whole text exchange that happened over the Gen X Tribal Council. I was very upset with this.
Let me see. Do I have any texts from you that used the letter U instead of YOU?
It's not impossible. I've certainly used the U before for brevity's sake occasionally, or for I guess this would be a really kind of crotchety millennial thing to do, like the ironic you. That's like a very hipstery crotchety millennial thing. But I don't know. I'm not mad at the you. I just feel like to argue that you're a, what did Jeff say? You're an old fogey.
Yeah.
If you're using the you, I mean, talk about outing your generation, calling using your razor sharp insult is calling people an old fogey.
Yeah.
You know. We're booming now, baby. When we're breaking out the old fogey,
I think you're good. I don't old see thingy. Any sort of U, the letter U. I'm seeing a lot of YOU.
Yeah. I really, I'm surprised that there hasn't been more chatter about the old fogey. I thought that was one of the most odd things that Jeff has ever said on Survivor.
What about the vinyl?
Well, we talked about vinyl, you and me and Antonio, on most shows recapped, and we were lukewarm on it. So I'm not so mad about it. And I think that history really did dictate that vinyl is out. So I'm okay with that.
Got
I'm fine
the
on that.
Hokey pokey renewal. They put it in and they took it back.
They took it right out. Yeah, it's gone. It's out of here.
Sorry about that.
Sorry.
Do you own a record player, Josh?
You know, we do. My wife and I have a record player that we libertated from Emily's parents' house about a year ago. It does not work, and we are such millennials that we have not had the initiative to go and get it fixed. It's just sitting around collecting dust. If anyone wants a broken record player, hit me up.
Record player is just sitting there saying,
use me!
Use me! Use me! Oh my God, I hope we're going to talk about that.
Yeah. So Hannah ends up having that conversation with Zeke on the beach. What about in terms of a moment from this season? I feel like that's going to be something that's very memorable.
That was so funny. I was dying. The whole he doesn't want to hear, it's not that you're the worst. He just doesn't want to hear this right now. How many times could we go back and count the right nows of that scene? Does it bust through 10? Is it 10 right nows or is it not quite 10 right nows?
I have to
over
go back
or
and
under?
Count. Yeah.
What's your guess? I think it's close.
I think
it's close
under.
Though. It's probably like an 8. I would guess 8. Mm-hmm. 8 right nows would be my bet if we looked at the transcript. Man, that was very, very funny. Great moment for Adam. Really liked that for Adam with his screaming voice. It was, a great use of loud Adam voice in the right now moment. And Zeke just being so upset. And Hannah just not getting it. Unbelievable. It was a great moment. It was very funny. Funniest moment of the episode for my money.
All right. Well, since we're here, why don't we get into some of these questions that I have for you? We're taking feedback this season on the Wiggle Room. You can email us all week long. WiggleRoom@robhasawebsite.com. Sean Tucker has a question for you, Josh, and wants to know, was that fight with Hannah, Adam, and Zeke one of the more awkward one-sided fights in recent Survivor history?
Oh man, what are the competitors? What even comes to mind as the most awkward fight in recent Survivor history still I don't think is topped is Jacqueline versus John Mish. The near breakup on the island is not great.
Yeah. And it's a similar fight, and that's a good pull because you have where John comes back from Exile Island and Jacqueline is like, "Oh my God, I have to tell you everything that's going on." And he's like, "No, not right now. I just want to talk to my girlfriend." And she's like, no, I need to tell you this right now. And it's very similar.
Yeah, we got to talk right now. I can't talk right now. It's really very similar situations, except there's no actual romantic coupling, as far as we know, among this Triforce.
Yeah.
None yet. None your business. But it was awkward. It was mighty uncomfortable. It was mighty uncomfortable. And after being accused of quote unquote extreme Hannah bias on Reddit last week, let me just be forthright and say bad luck on Hannah this week. That was not good.
Do you have extreme Hannah bias?
Apparently, according to the comment, I don't feel like I do. I think that they were upset that you did not challenge me on Hannah taking forever in the voting booth being a bad look on Hannah. And I do agree that was a terrible look on Hannah.
Well, you said that was a good look?
No, we just didn't talk about it. What I liked about Hannah's move last week is, getting in with the majority. She did, Omega level Aubrey'd it with, sticking around in the voting voting booth for way too long.
Yeah.
Absolutely. 100% hundo. And then this whole thing with Zeke, like, you got to take a hint. If they're saying we don't want to talk to you right now being the key words, you got to walk away. You have to walk away. And I know that you were talking about how, like, Zeke and Adam should just be open for business in that moment. I get where they're coming from. You know, take the night. Take the night. I think Aris had a really good
Zane
point
night.
About that. Zane night. Yeah, take the Zane night to think about it. I think that Aris had a good point of, like, it could potentially be worse if you really explode, if you really go nuclear, if you're really not emotionally prepared to handle that moment. If you can give yourself the space that you need to collect yourself, that might be the lesser of two evils. Like, neither one is a particularly great option, but taking the night to not talk about it, at least not right now, is probably the better move. And I do think that Hannah needed to pick up a hint. That was a really bad look for Hannah.
This is an email from Jenna, who says that, am I the only person?
Jenna X?
Yeah, I don't know if it's Jenna X or Jenna L or Jenna M. But yeah. Here's a question from Stone Holdings. Is am I the only one who thought Zeke acted like a two-year-old lying on his back having a tantrum? He should have sucked up the loss, made Hannah feel good, and turned her into an ally. He missed an opportunity, Josh.
If he was, you know, if he was a true game bot, like if he was designed in the Westworld laboratories and given like all of the proper circuitry to be invincible at Survivor, then of course, absolutely. But Zeke is a human being, as I assume the 19 other people who are out there for Survivor Millennials versus Gen X are, except for Ken, who might be an action figure. I think that you just sometimes your emotions get the better of you. Imagine being a super fan who Zeke and Adam both are. And being on the wrong side of the vote and things looking very bleak for you on the first vote, that's got to be really difficult to deal with. And I think in a perfect world, 100%. Like if they could pull themselves up by the Sesty bootstraps, if they could, you know, do like a Rob Sesternino Amazon and be Stone Cold Killer about it and just be ready to go back to business, that'd be fantastic. That would be terrific. But that's, you know, not who these people are necessarily. And maybe they need the night. And I think that there's some wisdom to that. I really liked what Aris said about that. I think there's some wisdom to just give yourself some space. Deal with it in the morning. We didn't really see any.
He's wise.
We didn't see any fallout. Yeah, Professor Aris, as we've talked about, he's really that man knows how to talk about Survivor. He's really good at that. Great on the podcast this week. It was an unbelievable podcast.
Yeah,
really, really fantastic stuff. Textile Island. I'm all in on Textile Island.
Edmo has a question for you, Josh. If there was a Josh doll and people called you all the time, would you be as frustrated as Ken is? So, all right, imagine a Josh doll.
When you're a boy, like the last thing you want to be referred to is a plastic Barbie with no penis.
I know. Is that what a Josh doll is like?
Well, so I would assume probably like most action figures don't have, you know, they got like a little like plastic, like, you know, smooth, like
a
they've
bulge.
Gone smooth.
Yeah.
They've gone smooth like the Strain Strigoi. I think that, you know, that's just the way of the land. That's I think that I don't know how I'd feel about Josh Dahl. When your last name is Wiggler, Rob, you're pretty used to just like, you know, getting weird nicknames and some of them you're not going to like very much. So I feel like I'm trained. I feel like I'm calloused for it.
You'd be okay.
What would the Josh doll, like, what would the accessories be?
Okay.
Pizza?
Pizza, for sure. Yeah. I think, you know, like a pad and pencil or a laptop, which are you more likely to have?
Probably the laptop. I mean, almost definitely the laptop.
Yeah.
You know, the pen and pencil, that's so Gen X. It's
Does
very
it
Gen
talk
X.
Also? Does it like, is it one of those things where you like pull the string?
The computer or me? Because the computer, that could be interesting if it's got like, you know, if I've done like the Sierra update on my Mac.
Yeah, it's a fan favorite update.
Yeah, it's a fan favorite update. If I've got like the Don Thomas OX and like it's talking to me like Siri, that could be fun. that could be great. What would my voice be? I guess it would be Antonio, probably.
Is that what it is?
Probably would be Antonio. Okay. I'm working on it.
Trevor Roberts wants to know, Josh Wiggler, what are your current feelings about the state of Jessica's eye? Still bad?
Nah, you know, it's still not great. It's not
That's
fantastic.
Disgusting.
Yeah, you know, it's not my favorite. But I'm like, I'm cautious about saying too much now that I know like she's listening to the podcast and like, am I making an enemy by like really mocking the eyes? Now I'm nervous.
It's probably bad karma.
It's bad karma. Yeah, and I really don't want anything to do with that. I was very, very upset when I heard that there was a pink eye scare in your household, Rob. I was not.
Crap.
Yeah, all crap is right, because I was there like 2 weeks ago. Did I catch anything? Is it harboring?
Well, you're an a-hole.
Is it harboring inside of me? Oh my God. Yeah. Apparently. Yeah. Apparently. So I was worried. Are you okay? Nothing's developed in that regard yet for you?
This is, if you didn't listen to the voicemail podcast, I was talking about this where Nicole just said one day, and it was the day that PG was coming here. And she's like,
did you give PG pink eye?
Well, Nicole said, okay, well, I have pink eye. I'm like, well, what do I do? Do I get to cancel the guest? Do I tell PG not to come in today? What do I do?
You cancel the guest, Rob, and you buy a hazmat suit if you don't already own one. And that's what you're wearing around your house until the pink eye is gone.
No, but then by like noon that day, she said, okay, it's not pink eye. So it was a very, very quick, but it was not like, I just want to warn you about something. I may have pink. It was the denouncement of, is it a denouncement or an unannouncement?
Daenerys. I don't know.
Same thing.
I don't know. Are you announcing or are you denouncing a thing?
I guess it's an announcement. A pronouncement, maybe.
A pronouncement, a proclamation.
Yeah, it's a proclamation. And
indeed.
That's what it is. And then there was no press conference, no follow up in terms of like, you know, that my wife is not a fan of the press conference, does not like answering questions about things. And then, because I love the press conference.
You're a big fan of the press conference.
I'm very inquisitive.
Yes, I know this about you.
I have a lot of questions and follow ups about things. And she just is, if she was like a politician, it would be very hard to get the straight answer on any of this stuff. So, but I guess that's like real life politics. But that being said,
yeah.
But then later on in the day, it was like, no, false alarm.
Oh, thank God, man. Pink eye. That's a nightmare. That's a survivor nightmare. Truly.
It's sure. Just,
Not great. Not great. And again, like my heart goes out to Jessica. Like that's, you know, I have sympathy for frickin' Shamar. So of course I have sympathy for Jessica here. It's just so gross to look at. She is doing better, it seems. Please, I hope it goes away soon. It's so hard to look at. It's really tough. It's really difficult.
Real BG Lowe has a question for you, Josh.
Okay.
Wants to know, considering that we didn't go to Three Tribes this week, what are your expectations for when a swap may or may not come?
Yeah, that's great. I don't know. I really don't, because when's our next opportunity to do a 2-3? 15?
I don't think we're going to see Three Tribes necessarily this season. Do you think that we're going to... I guess we could... Well, here's the options. So no chance of tribe swap this week, but I guess we could... At 16, go down to 2 tribes of 8. That's on the table.
You could do that. You could also theoretically do 3 tribes of 5 each and then exile island somebody.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah, that's a good point, too.
Yeah. So I think, but what I like about the fact that nothing happened this week is, dude, I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with that. You know, Survivor has been so experimental with this stuff recently that it's really hard to know exactly what they're going to do. And it felt like such a slam dunk. Okay, here's it's swap week. We're swapping tribes. We're going down to 3. It did not happen. And now there's a lot of different opportunities on the table. I hope nothing gets tipped off with the preview or anything. I'm sure it will eventually. Doesn't look like it's going to happen this week, but I would love it if it was just like a total Stealth R Us type of, you know, dropping, you know, just drop the swap in an episode and have no idea that it's coming. I love that. I love that we were all wrong. And speaking of go wrong, like I'm really excited if Survivor can prove the majority wrong right now. That makes me happy. If Survivor is capable of doing that right now, bless your heart. Very happy
it's
with
the best.
That.
It's the best.
And so I'm really happy with that right now. So I don't know. I don't know when we're going to swap. I think if I were betting, and if it were me, because I do think Survivor likes that 3-tribe format and that dynamic, I could see 3 at 15 and someone goes to exile and Bruce Kenna guys into a tribe.
Here's the problem though, Josh. Have we solved the anchor issue where if you are putting people on their own tribe on a new beach with no shelter, no tarp, nothing set up, isn't that such a big disadvantage to that group?
Yeah. So don't do that.
So what do you do? Build a shelter? Like, hey, we've got a new beach that's set up completely ready for you guys. Just go there and live there and you'll be fine.
Yeah, well, I think a couple of things. One, Cambodia was just like ungodly awful to live in. It was, you know, really difficult environment. I don't think Fiji is as difficult. I think, you know, give them food, you know, give them like decent supplies, give them like a good amount of like comparable, if not like quite fully comparable supplies to what the other 2 tribes, just give them enough, give them some good stuff to work with. And just like, don't give them a crappy camp, find a camp that's going to be workable and that's going to be livable. And I think that you'll be okay. I think that you could try that. I think that you could try that, and I think that it would be better than an Angkor. Like, give them a few more things than Angkor got. Don't give them a rotten beach. And let's see how that plays out.
Alex Wilpon wants to know, which legacy are you more excited for? Finding out about the legacy advantage and who gets to play it, or finding out that Tony Almeida is going to be on 24 Legacy?
Yes, the second thing, for sure. Oh, my God. Did you hear about this, Rob?
I did.
Are you aware of this? Are you aware of this, people out there who are 24 fans? Breaking news from New York Comic Con that Carlos Bernard will be reprising his role as Tony Almeida on 24 Legacy, the Jack Bauer free reboot of 24.
I don't remember where. Where did Tony Almeida leave off? Did he was taken away by the paramedics? Was that it? Or is it the time before he came back?
This is spoiler territory for 24. So skip ahead a minute or two.
Because somebody's going to binge watch 8 years of 24 before they watch 24 Legacy.
Hey, what did I do 2 years ago?
You know? Rewatched it. You liked it. Somebody's like, I just haven't had time for 190 episodes of 24.
I would recommend it. Go do it. Skip season 6 and have a great time.
You are selling people a bill of goods.
It's very goods. I'm happy with my bill of goods. All right, fine. But for the few people who might not know, just skip ahead 2 minutes and you'll be fine. Tony Almeida is back in season 7. He takes a villainous turn and he is arrested at the end. So he's thrown in jail and he's left alive, but he's like definitively, like, he took a dark turn for the bad. He was trying to avenge a death in the family and he did not succeed at that, and he got arrested. And there is a deleted scene on the 24 Live Another Day Blu-ray, Rob. It's like a 5-minute movie where Tony Almeida is trying to like get out of solitary confinement. He's like making a formal appeal, and then he gets into a fight with the panelists there. And apparently the fight, it was a ruse. It was not a Bay ruse. It was a ruse. I love you, Bay ruse. And he is slipped some sort of key or some sort of map that is supposed to guide him out of the prison so he can escape. And that's the note that they leave that on, is like, okay, Tony's going to break out. He's going to be free. So I guess he broke out.
Okay.
And he's going to be on 24 Legacy. And I'm very happy about this. Tony Almeida is one of my favorite characters in anything ever. So I'm very thrilled about this news.
Okay.
Legacy advantage is also cool, but the 24 Legacy advantage is better.
All right. Good stuff. All right. Michael Butler wants to ask, what's the story with Lucy? Is next episode the rise of an evil Abby-esque storyline, or is the start of a Drew Christie downfall? Could the lack of airtime be the result of a possible quit down the line?
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like it could go either way. I think that, like, you know, we talked about Paul as like, is he final boss level, or is he like the first boss? It's like, he the boss that you fight at the end of the first stage of the game, and then like you keep going through like 6 different stages and you keep fighting bosses along the way. I don't know if Lucy's an end game boss. I don't think she's Zeromis. I don't think she's quite Golbez. I think that she's just like one of those people you fight in a cave. I don't see Lucy being somebody who is going to be this massive force across the season. I would be more inclined to see her as a Drew Christie type of character. What's your instinct on Lucy?
I think that she might be more of the middle boss, middle villain that we're going to build up a little bit here, more so than, say, like a comical villain in Drew Christie. Because like Drew Christie, you got comical beats. If there were like a comical moments with Lucy, I think we would have seen some of them.
I mean, didn't we see one this week? That whole, her first line of dialogue is shh. Yeah. Oh my God. And Shut Up Tim really crushed it on...
You liked it.
Yeah, it was good. Well, I mean, we were maybe scheduled to hear Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds in the Wiggle Room at some point this season, but I feel like that's out. I feel like that's been taken, and it's been claimed. Yeah, no, it was taken in a beautiful direction by Shut Up Tim. Inspired stuff. I thought that was funny. I thought her, you know, being on the balance beam, and the first thing she says is shh, is pretty good. So who knows? We'll see how fired up she gets next week.
Henry Wall wants to know, is Adam the human version of Taron Armstrong?
Is Taron not a human?
He's just circuitry and wires, I think.
Well, he does listen to podcasts on like 10X. Like, he Gen does X. listen. Yeah, Gen X. He really does process that information very quickly. That's funny. I like that. Okay. I think that's good. I liked Adam this week. What did you think of Adam this week?
I mean, he was fun, and I liked the scene that he was in with Zeke, and we've talked about his approach back with Michaela, trying to get her to flip her vote. Maybe not the right approach to take with Michaela.
Yeah, I guess, like, but any sort of sensible, it's not going to be you if you do this, plus if you do this, we can get rid of Figgy. Like, that feels like it should work.
That's not necessarily how people always make decisions on Survivor. I think that there's probably a little bit more, instead of like coming in, just like if I'm sort of a timeshare salesman and I just knock on your door and I to know I am not. But I come on in and I say, hey, just Josh, so you know, I've got these great timeshares, and you'd be very foolish to not go ahead and take this offer because we got all this great, you'd be right by the beach and it doesn't cost that much money. And then you're going to spend money on going on vacations and other times. It could make all the sense in the world, but it's not as good of a sales tactic as, you know, it's like a long con where I become your friend for a couple of weeks and then bring up.
Isn't Michaela in like the timeshare business? So shouldn't that
that's
really
a good point.
Shouldn't that really work? Work for her?
I don't know. I think you need to take the long approach, and maybe you could say, okay, yeah, that's what he's been doing the first 10 days of the game. I don't know. That's not what we've been seeing on the show, but I think that's not necessarily the best way to change somebody's mind. I think you have to sort of work on them and reach out to them as a person before you come in with the big pitch.
Yeah. No, maybe. Who knows? But I thought it was, it would have worked on me. Like, that made sense to me. What he was saying made all the sense in the world to me. And I think especially with the fact that Michaela does not seem to have any love lost toward Figgy, you could see that working. So who knows? I think it was a good pitch as far as I'm concerned, but maybe you're right. And I think we just don't know enough about, like, you know, how these people individually operate just yet. We're only 3 episodes into the season, so who knows? But I think for him, in the position that he's in, it was calm. It was a smart pitch. Best thing that he could do right there. The best thing that he could have done was, like, actually see the 3 seashells that were that he was walking past in that one point. I think
that would be good. That'd be good.
If he could have noted. Were you happy to see the seashell finally on the show?
Yes.
That sounds like a poem. The 3
yeah,
seashells
on, the, very least.
On yeah. the sea show. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, Josh, great stuff here in the Wiggle Room. People can send in their questions all week long. wiggleroom@robhasawebsite.com.
Yes, indeed. I guess this would normally be the part where it's like, oh, I went to Paul Wachter's concert this weekend and we had a great time and it was easy over the top and it was really fun and it was so good. But I was at
ZZOTT?
ZZOTT. Yeah, but I was at New York Comic Con this weekend, so sorry. He was playing in my hometown of Huntington this weekend. He's also from Huntington and couldn't make it, Rob. I apologize.
Oh, well, that's a shame. Maybe you
it's
can
a
get
shame.
VIP tickets at some point.
that should be my next move. No, I think that the bummer is, like,
bummer.
We're not going to be able to get a Wiggle Room musical exclusive every week this season. Is that a big bummer? Is that going to be a problem here, or are we going to be okay?
I think we'll be okay.
I did see that there was, like, a clip from Paul's concert on Reddit this past week. This is not a setup. This is real. That there was, like, you saw this too, right? There was actual music from Paul, one of Paul's shows that was on Reddit, which I thought was pretty fun.
Yeah, unfortunate son this week.
Unfortunate son. Unfortunate Paul. Unfortunate for Jimmy
unfortunate
T.
Unfortunate Jim.
Like, yeah. Jimmy T was like, oh, that was my thing. I was the guy who sang on Survivor and it's not working out for me.
Yeah.
I think Paul Wachter definitely beats Jimmy T.
Paul's really like bopping around the stage too.
Yeah, there's video with this, right?
Yeah. This is the first time ever that you've set up a musical clip and it was actually the Survivor singing.
Yeah, no bullshit. That was actually Paul.
This was like your version of the Summit where it's like, okay, that's just to throw everybody off. Yeah, okay, I did it like by the book. I said actually what it was.
I know.
People are being thrown off every time.
I know. No, seriously, we're not going to be able to do a Wiggle Room music exclusive every single week. So I'm sorry about that. I mean, I guess we could play Anthony's song, you know, the song that he sang for you and me, your son Anthony, when I was over a couple weeks ago.
yes of course.
So we could play that, I guess. I mean, you recorded that, so I mean, it's better than nothing.
Paul Walker works around camp doing chores. He's in an alliance with Sunday. He never gets milk sent to him by a drone. Paul keeps working and working and working. Oh, but working too hard can give you a heart attack. Joe should be here by now. Paul likes the cup and the quarterback. Is that all he needs for his buddies? Jessica isn't wasting time. Yeah, that's what Paul's all about. Party good luck and
is your voted out. Paul's voted out.
Ooh. Ooh. Party, party. Yeah, yeah, it's really, really amazing kind of job by Anthony, because he can't speak really yet, but he can sing, your son.
Yes.
You know, he's got a great voice. He's also either getting early access to the episodes of Survivor, because this was recorded weeks ago, or he is clairvoyant.
Wow.
Which you also might want to look into. But my hat's off to Anthony for really saving my neck, because I did not have anything prepared this week.
A great tradition of Long Island musicians continues.
Yes, indeed.
Yes. Indeed. Josh, of course, coming up this week on Rob Has a Website, can I give you the rundown of the blogs we're working on?
Please do.
Yes. Yeah, it's okay. Of course, that already posted this weekend, Scott Gallagher, that he has some video clips from his pop culture recap, including some clips from Westworld. I'm assuming from the original Westworld.
Oh, wow.
That's up already. And Michael Trudeau talks about the dynamic duos in the edit. And then over the weekend, Christian Williams talks about the diplomatic view and the importance of not letting information slip accidentally, like ultimately what happened with Paul. And then on Monday, Catherine Lucas is going to have lessons in Survivor history, playing when you have nothing to lose, and she's going to compare David to Aaron Lobdell.
What?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Interesting. No, that's fun. Actually, I laughed because I thought it was Thailand Aaron for a second there. And I was like, wait a minute. What is happening? But the Aaron Lobdell thing, I'm actually curious about that.
And then on Tuesday, Christine is going to talk about, in her column, Pink Eye and a Brain, The Rise of the Dark Army. There's no 404 error.
That's very funny.
Mr. Robot themed blog from Christine coming up.
That sounds fun. I like the pun. Because it's Pink Eye, I will be skipping the article.
Yes. All right. So good stuff coming
up. What about podcasts? What's coming up podcast-wise? What's
podcast-wise,
happening?
Where we're going to have David Bloomberg is going to be having Why Paul Lost coming up this week. But because of the aforementioned trip to Disney on Monday that I am going to have to take, Mike Bloom is going to be filling in for me. So it's going to be Bloom on Bloomberg coming up Why Paul Lost this week.
I thought about like the day that Mike shows up on this podcast and the 1 week only Wiggle Bloom.
Bloom.
Yeah, Mike's good. got a really good name for plug and play.
Really does. Yeah, and indeed. Then of course we're gonna get back into Australian Survivor. Oh boy, Josh, you gotta catch up on Australian Survivor.
Stop it.
For people like binge watch 24 first. If you haven't played. And then when you get to it, then Australian Survivor. Episode 20, 21, and 22 recaps coming up with Stephen Fishback this week.
Wouldn't have been perfect if you were up to episode 24.
Oh, almost.
Then it really would have come all full circle, yeah.
Almost. And then, of course, we're going to have some more BBOTT coverage. Glenn Garcia is going to be back with us on Tuesday, and then we'll get back into the Survivor Know-It-Alls on Wednesday night. And a fun week of recapping. Randy Bailey on the recap on Thursday.
Randy Bailey
and Miles Nye in person do the voicemail. Rare in-person voicemail. Maybe outside of Josh Wiggler. That almost never happened.
That's great. Looking forward to Miles. I love Miles. For Randy, can you do me a favor? I have a question for Randy.
Sure.
I have a question for Randy because in my pregame interview with Will Wall, we talked about how Will had selected Randy as the survivor he's most like, and I was baffled by this. I had to ask him about it. If you've got Randy on the line, you cannot not ask Randy about Will Wall selecting him as the survivor he is most like.
Yeah, that's a good question. If we have time for that, I will ask him on
Jot
Thursday.
That down. Okay. Jot that down. That's very good. Can I suck a kneecap?
Sure.
I would love to suck the kneecap of News AF, which I've very recently just gotten really, really into. And this week's episode was so funny. And Tyson's erotic novel sounds like it's going to be a really, really must read. And Danny dropping Gallagher references, as we did in every single volume of The Evolution of Strategy. Really,
not Katie
really.
Gallagher.
No, not Katie Gallagher. Big fan of Danny's bolt hole. incredible. Really good stuff happening in News AF. News AF, my new favorite podcast. I'm way too late to the party, but great stuff that you're doing.
Oh, well, thank you for saying that. It sort of gets lost in the shuffle sometimes, but I'm sure that the guys will appreciate it as well.
It's really a tremendous podcast that everyone should be listening to. It's hysterical.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Josh Wiggler. Of course, you can follow Josh on Twitter at Round Howard, and of course, listen to all of his coverage of Westworld over on postshowrecaps.com.
That's right. Yes, we're talking Westworld. We've still got some Luke Cage stuff that's happening between Kevin Mahadeo and I, so we've got some things popping on post show right now.
All right, and of course,
Walking Dead going to come back pretty soon too.
Yeah, like 2 weeks from now. Boom.
Pretty soon. Yeah, boom is right, unfortunately, for one unlucky individual.
Yeah, 2 weeks away. Josh, what's the hashtag there? We got some options.
All right, give me the options. What do we have?
Wasn't
there Kendall Jenner?
Kendall Jenner, yes.
We decided early that was the hashtag. Was there anything that rivaled it?
No, I don't think so. Birthday Summit, ZZOTT was mentioned as well.
Yeah. Let's go with Kendall Jenner, even though I said I don't feel comfortable calling him Kendall. But it's the hashtag. It's not necessarily him. Yeah, it's just a really, it was a reach, and I love the reach.
Okay, yes, of course. Anything Highgarden, right?
Yes, indeed.
All right, so good stuff. Thanks so much for listening. Looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say in the comments, and we'll talk to you soon. Take care, everybody. Bye.
Paul Walker works around camp doing chores. He's in an alliance with Sunday. He never gets milk sent to him by a drone. Paul keeps working and working and working. Oh, but working too hard can give you a heart attack. His buddies. Jessica isn't wasting time. Yeah, that's what Paul's all about. Paul, good luck and goodbye, 'cause you're voted out.